I want to invite you this morning to open your Bibles with me to Proverbs chapter 2. As we continue our journey, our discovery. We're going to drive safely in this journey of wisdom. As we were told, we are all set to get started. All right. Proverbs chapter 2. I believe that most all of us here want to grow in God's wisdom. I believe that you wouldn't be here if that wasn't the case. I believe that most all of us want to know Jesus more intimately. I believe that all of us, most all of us, want God to change us more deeply. I believe most of us want to be transformed more fully into the image of Jesus Christ. Well, the good news is that our scripture today shows us what that looks like. Proverbs chapter 2 will show us what it feels like in our heart, what we will experience in our lives, what will happen to us as God is changing us, as we grow in our relationship with Him. And so our text today is going to kind of pull back the curtain, or our text today is going to be like that x-ray or ultrasound or that scan that kind of shows us what's going on down deep inside of us. It will show us what it looks like inside of a person who is growing in wisdom. Inside of a person who is growing in their relationship with God. Now, some of you may already be saying, well, yeah, that's not possible with me. Some of you say, are already saying, well, that's not going to happen in my life. You just don't know me very well. Well, here's what our text says. Our text says that if you want to know God, if you have a longing for God, if you will pursue God, that you will find Him and that you will grow in your walk and in your relationship with Him. And so this morning, there's three truths or three ways that we see what's going on inside of a person who is growing in the wisdom of the Lord. And so the first way that our text describes what's going on inside of a person who's growing in the wisdom of the Lord is that inside of them there is this passionate pursuit of God. And both of those words are really important. Passionate pursuit of God. Secondly, our text will show us what's going on. Our text will show us that God is then pouring His wisdom for those who will passionately pursue. God will pour abundantly. He will provide His wisdom into our hearts. And here's what it will do. You want to see what it will do? It will literally change the appetites of our soul. It will change what we hunger for, what we thirst for, what we long for. And then lastly, our text will show us that God's wisdom, as a person growing in God's wisdom, will experience the protecting power of God. God will guard, God will watch over, and here's how that will happen. God will sharpen our instincts. God will make us more aware of our surroundings. And God will lead us to take the appropriate course of action. So these are all the things that are going on inside of our hearts, inside of a person's heart who is growing in wisdom. Let's look at that first area. First of all, what's going on in a person's heart who's growing in wisdom? There's a passionate pursuit of wisdom. We see that in verses 1 through 4. Now, I want you to notice the verbs in these first four verses. The verbs in the first four verses, there is a growing of intensity. There is an increasing of urgency in the first four verses. In other words, if you're going to grow in God's wisdom, you can't live this life parked or put it in neutral. Complacency and growing in wisdom are the exact opposites. Remember our verse last week? In verse chapter 1 and verse 32, he says, the complacency of fools destroys them. One commentator says, you don't have to hate God to live a wasted life. You just have to be complacent with God to live a wasted life. Not just, you know, you don't have to have animosity, and I don't believe if you're here today you hate God or have animosity, but we can live, even in these pews, we can live a life that has little significance or little impact. Our life, for the most part, can be wasted if our attitude toward God is one of complacency. One where we are satisfied with the status quo. I like this little comfortable, cozy place that I'm in right now, and I don't want anything to kind of change this comfort zone that I find myself in. Complacency. You don't see complacency in these first four verses. A person that's growing in wisdom is passionately pursuing God. Look at these verbs. Look at verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you. So, receive my words. Treasure my commands. And there's another a word that's emphasized in these first four verses is the word if. So if you will do this, this is what God is saying. If you will passionately pursue wisdom, it's going to lead us to the second reality. God will abundantly pour it into our hearts. So that's where he's leading to. If you will receive my words, if you will treasure. And now notice how he increases the urgency and intensity in verse 2. Making your ear attentive to wisdom. Inclining your heart to understanding. And then he raises it up another notch in verse 3. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding. And then he takes it up another notch. If you seek it like silver. There was a time in Palestine, in Israel's history, when silver was more valuable than gold. It was rare. And it was more precious and more valuable. If you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures. There's an intensity. So you want to see what's going on inside of a person's heart that's growing in wisdom? There is a passionate pursuit of wisdom. There's an urgency. There's an intensity. We have seen a lot of tragedy take place here recently, and of course just yesterday in El Paso, and then early this morning in Ohio. I don't know if you've seen another shooting in Ohio. But yesterday, and I mean, it hits home to us because we were just touched here, right, in Virginia Beach. And the one yesterday in El Paso was in a Walmart. And they said it was like at full capacity. It was just packed with families. Imagine walking into that Walmart with your family yesterday. And imagine as you have your kids with you, when I was a kid and we went to a store, I'm like, all right, I'm going to go to the toy section. I'll see you in a little bit. You know, maybe today, I don't know if parents allow their kids to depending on how hard the old they are, probably not. You're not going anywhere. You're staying right here, right? Some of them even are attached, you know. They got ropes, so they can't go anywhere. But just imagine you're in that Walmart and you got your kids with you and, you know, you're looking at, you know, what kind of bread you're going to buy or whatever. And you look down and, you know, your little girl's gone or your little boy's gone. And you're probably initially thinking, oh, they're just on the next aisle, you know, it's not that big of a deal. But imagine being there yesterday and that was the case. And then you start to hear gunshots. Let me ask you this. I know that's an extreme example, but put yourself in that situation. Or maybe you're a child and you wandered away from mom and dad and you hear that. In our text, he says that if you call out, if you raise your voice, if you seek it like silver and search for it like hidden treasure, how would you, if you were a parent, how passionately would you cry out or call out for your child? How intense would you seek for them or search for them? I mean, it would be, you know, you're talking about a level of one, you know, when you go to the hospital, your pain level, is it a 1 or a 10? Your intense level would be level 10, right? Your urgency would be, you would be so single in your focus and determination, you would be screaming your child's name. You would be yelling your child's name. You would be seeking and searching because you obviously want them to be safe. This morning, as God peels back the layers of our heart and he says, you want to see what's going on in the heart of a person that's growing in wisdom? You want to see what's going on inside of a person who is being changed? You want to see what's going on inside of a person who's being transformed? He says, this is what's going on. They're crying out for God. They're seeking the Lord with all their heart. They're seeking the Lord like he's that hidden treasure. They're calling out to him in prayer, raising their voice to him in prayer. Let me ask you, who was the wisest person ever to live? Come on now, let's try it again. Who was the wisest person ever to live? His name begins with, it's the Sunday school answer. Begins with a J. Who's the wisest person ever to live? Jesus, thank you. Solomon would be number two. Solomon got his wisdom from Jesus. Huh? Did you say Solomon? You got it wrong. I'm sorry, Dale. I'll give you 25%. I'll give you 25%. Jesus was the wisest person ever to live. And when we look at the life of Jesus, and we've kind of highlighted these before. So Jesus was, in the incarnation, Jesus was truly God and truly man. And so there's some mystery. Truly God, in every way that you could be God, Jesus was God. And then in every way that you could be man, he was truly man. Truly God, truly man. Jesus got hungry. Jesus got tired. Jesus experienced pain. And we see Jesus in his humanity crying out, seeking the Father and his guidance and his wisdom and his direction and his strength. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 35, after Jesus had healed many, the scripture says that while it was still dark outside, he went to a desolate place and there he prayed, calling out to the Father, seeking the Father's presence, seeking the Father's strength, seeking the Father's direction. In Luke chapter 6 and verses 12 and 13, the night before Jesus is going to decide who he chooses to be his 12 disciples. Luke chapter 6, he's got to make this decision of all his followers, which men is he going to choose? You know what the scripture tells us he does? In Luke 6, the Bible says that he goes out to a mountain and prays all night long. All night long. Jesus was the wisest man who ever lived. And there's never been a man who passionately pursued the Father more than Jesus did. When we were going through Matthew, we highlighted how that whole night where Jesus was having Passover and he turned the Passover to the Lord's Supper, that whole night he no doubt arranged to where he could go to the garden and spend hours in prayer. Knowing what was in front of him, he knew that he had to spend time with the Father. And the scriptures highlight the intensity in which that wasn't a complacent prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. That wasn't a going lackadaisical, now I lay me down to sleep type of prayer in the garden. The Bible says Jesus prayed with such intensity and urgency that it was as if great drops of blood were coming out. This is the wisest man who ever lived. And what do we see him doing? We see him passionately pursuing the Father. Now listen, this was the Son of God. If he passionately pursued the Father, how much more should we? How much more do we need to passionately pursue him, raising, calling out in prayer? Prayer must be a priority in our lives. I don't believe that we will grow in our relationship with God. I don't believe that we will increase in intimacy with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ if we are not passionately pursuing God in prayer. If we are not raising our voice to him, as he says, if we are not crying out to him, if we are not seeking him, if we are not searching after him with all of our heart. So you want to know what's going on inside of a person that's growing in the wisdom of God? There's passionate pursuit. And he says, if we will passionately pursue him, then, look at verse 5. So here's the promise. If we will do those things, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity in every good path, for wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. So 9 and 10 and 5 and 6 kind of characterize what God will do if we will passionately pursue him. Verse 5 says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Verse 9, then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity in every good path, for wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Verse 6, for God gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So these scriptures are saying a couple things. Number one, it's saying God is the source of wisdom. God has a monopoly on the market of wisdom. He is the one who supplies it. He is the one who gives it. From His mouth comes wisdom. And for us today, the Word of God, the Bible that we hold in our hands, this is God's mouth. From His mouth come wisdom. The Lord will give us wisdom if we will receive His words, if we will treasure up His commands, if we will make our ear attentive to His voice, if we will incline our heart to His understanding, if we will call out for insight, if we will raise our voice for understanding, if we will seek it like silver and search for it like hidden treasure with an open Bible and a bended knee, God will speak His wisdom into our hearts. That's what He says. If we will seek it, if we will search for it with open Bibles and bended knee, verses 9 and 10, God will speak His wisdom to us. And He says in verse 10, His wisdom will come into our hearts. And when His wisdom comes into our hearts, He says it will be pleasant to our soul. You want to know what's going on as we peel back the curtain, as we look at God's x-ray machine, as we look inside the heart of a person who's growing in wisdom? The Bible says that you will see literally inside of them their appetites changing. God's wisdom will become pleasant to their soul. God will begin to change the very DNA of their hearts and their lives. What we once craved, according to the things of the world, the things of the world that we once loved and longed for and once lived for, those things are not as appealing to us anymore. They're just not as attractive. God is forming new appetites. God's making His wisdom pleasant. In other words, speaking personally, God's holiness that used to terrify and scare the living daylights out of me, as you grow in wisdom and intimacy with God, now the holiness of God becomes incredibly beautiful. Now the holiness of God is absolutely stunning to you. Now you look forward to worshiping the Lord in the beauty of His holiness. Purity of heart and mind that used to be the letter that kills is now the spirit that gives life. Now you hunger and long for purity and holiness of heart and mind. And so the Lord says that as we seek Him, if we will seek Him, passionately pursue, that He will pour His wisdom and it will become pleasant to our soul. When I was a kid, there were things that were not pleasant to me. Collards were not pleasant to me. Green beans were not pleasant to me. Tomatoes were not pleasant to me. Black-eyed peas were not pleasant. You get the gist, right? All the healthy stuff, the vegetables, they were not pleasant to me. They were like gross. Give me a piece of pizza. Give me a bowl of cereal, Frosted Flakes. Give me an Eggo, and I'll be good. Those healthy things were gross. But then as you get older, it's hard to beat a tomato right out of the garden. It's hard to beat collards with vinegar on them. I have to put vinegar on them. Black-eyed peas that Wendy fixes are just amazing to die for. I love fresh vegetables. What's happened? My appetite has changed. Those things that were once gross have now become very pleasant to my soul. You want to see what goes on inside of a person who's growing in the wisdom of God? As we pursue and seek and cry out, God says that He will pour His wisdom and it will become pleasant to our soul as He pours it into our hearts. And the things about God that used to frighten us, the things of God that used to not be attractive or appealing to us, now those are the things that we are drawn to. And the things of the world that we used to live for, the things of the world that used to be on the top of our list are not on the top of our list. Our values have changed. Our priorities have changed. So that's what happens inside of a person. And then lastly, God will powerfully, you want to know what goes on inside of a person's heart? God will powerfully protect us as we receive His wisdom into our hearts. And we see that protection going on in the rest of the chapter. He highlights it with words like, look in verse 8, guarding the paths, watching over the way of the saints. He says in verse 11, discretion will watch over you and understanding will guard you. God's wisdom will guard our paths. And there's two examples or two ways that specifically he focuses on that God's wisdom will guard or keep us safe from. Number one, he says, God's wisdom will protect us or keep us safe from evil men. Not just evil men, but evil women also. He says in verse 12, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech who forsake the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways, will be delivered from the way of evil men and women and their perverted speech. In other words, what he's saying is, in life, we're going to be tempted to be a part of the crew. We're going to be tempted to join up with the group of people who are always trying to find a way to work the system. We're going to be tempted to join up with those who are always trying to take advantage of their boss or their workplace, finding a way that they can get away with things. Our teenagers just got back from a mission trip, and Sally was telling me that the house that they went to was a lady's house. Of course, and you know, she had, you know, bunch of damage, and they were working on the floor. And the reason why they were at this lady's house working on her floor is because a contractor came to her house. You probably already know the story. She went ahead and paid him. He showed up for one day and then left. God's wisdom will deliver us from these crooked and devious, deceitful men and women. Their actions are most always self-centered in nature with little concern about what happens to others. It's all about taking care of me. God's wisdom will protect us and guard us and keep us from these evil men and women who are always trying to take advantage of others in a way that benefit themselves. But then he looks at another way in which God's wisdom will work in our hearts and keep us safe and protect us. And he describes the forbidden woman. Look at verse 16. He says, so you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, whose from the adulteress with her smooth words. There's an emphasis on the words. The words, he describes the words of the evil men as perverted speech. Perverted speech means speech that's turned upside down. Always, you know, even using good words, but in a way that's deceitful. And then again, the forbidden woman with her smooth words, and the idea with smooth words, again, her words are deceptive. But not just men, also women. The forbidden man or the forbidden woman whose words are flattering, but they're always to deceive. Words of praise. Oh, you look nice today. Oh, man, you're so kind. You make me really feel wanted and appreciated. I come alive when I'm around you. Telling them what they want to hear, God's wisdom will guard and protect us from evil men and women with their smooth words. So God's wisdom works inside of us. And what will God's wisdom do? It will sharpen our spiritual and moral instincts. God's wisdom will heighten our spiritual awareness. God's wisdom will lead us to take the appropriate course of action. Great example of this in the Bible. Turn to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. In Genesis chapter 39, we see Joseph. He's in Egypt. He's working for Potiphar. And Potiphar, of course, has placed him over everything in his house. And the scripture says in Genesis 39, in verse 6, so Potiphar left all that he had in Joseph's charge because of him. He had no concern about anything but the food he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in the house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me except yourself, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" And she spoke to Joseph day after day. What do you think her words were like? Proverbs says, smooth words. Day after day, telling Joseph how wonderful he was, how handsome he was, how strong he was, how smart he was, how good he made her feel. Day after day, smooth words, deceitful words she spoke to him. Verse 10, he would not listen to her, to lie beside her or to be with her. But one day when he went into the house to do his work, none of the men of the house was there in the house. She caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." You want to see what wisdom looks like inside and outside? This is what it looks like. He ran. He left his garment in her hand and fled and got out of the house. And as soon as she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and had fled out of the house, she called the men. Of course, we know that she lied about him. Wisdom will guard your path. It will guard your steps. It will watch over you. It will keep you safe. As you passionately pursue God's wisdom, as you cry out for it in prayer and opening your Bibles and seeking the Lord and searching for Him, God has promised that He will then, because He alone is the source of this spiritual and moral wisdom, He alone has it, God's promised that He will pour it into our hearts. and he will change the appetite of our soul, and it will have the effect of sharpening our awareness and our instincts, and it will give us the moral strength and fiber to resist temptation when it comes our way from evil men and evil women. And when we need to run, we will run. And there's times when we need to run. God's wisdom will give us the awareness and the instinct and the ability to take the appropriate course of action as it relates to what's appropriate to watch on TV and what's not appropriate to watch on TV. Today you got Netflix, you got Prime, you got HBO, you got Cinemax, you've got all these movie channels, and let me just say, there's a lot of garbage on TV. We need God's wisdom to say, we need men who have the wisdom to say, we're not watching that in this house. Come on, men. We need you to step up. We need you to be leaders. And if the men won't do it, God give our wives the wisdom to say, do we have to watch this? Do we have to look at this? There's stuff that we don't need to put before our eyes today. Because if you look at it, it's going to go into your heart. And it's going to change the appetite. There's things that we don't need to look at on the internet today. There's things that we don't need to post on Facebook today. We need God's wisdom. What you put on Facebook, your kids see, other kids see. There's things that we need the wisdom of God to know this is not appropriate. We need God's wisdom. We need God's wisdom. Especially in the world that we live in today, surrounded. We live in a time like no other. I know there's a lot of things that are similar, but we live in a time like no other where we are constantly bombarded with all kinds of junk and temptation. I mean, it's just surrounding us today. And the only thing that will guard and protect us, the only thing is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God. And so the Lord today is calling out to us. He's calling out. He is that voice. And God wants us to call out to Him. And He says that if you will seek me, you will finish it for me. You will find me. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, as we come before you today, I pray that you will pour your wisdom into our hearts. Oh Lord, I pray that we will be tired. Help us, Lord, to get sick and tired of complacency. God, help us to have a holy discontent with just going through the motions, drifting through this life. But God, I pray that you will so awaken us, Lord, that there will be a crying out and a seeking of you, Lord, like never before. And you promise that if we will do that, that you will then pour your wisdom into our hearts. Oh Lord, we need godly men and women today who are led and guided and directed and guarded by your wisdom, who have the spiritual instincts and awareness, God, of what's going on around us and the ability to take the appropriate action. And sometimes that appropriate action is just, we need to run. We need to run away. Sometimes the appropriate action is we need to fall to our knees and pray for strength to resist the temptation. Lord, I pray that as we sing today, I surrender all, God, that we truly, Lord, that will be our desire today. That will be our longing, is God, to not hold anything back, but to surrender it all to you. And Lord, we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.